We're going to be focusing on the text that Bill Anderson read for us so beautifully from Ephesians, and we'll also be focusing on another story from the Old Testament that you will recognize. I might ask you, though, what would help you to face the struggles of your life? I was with my family last week in Victoria, British Columbia, hanging out on the Inner Harbor, water taxis, seaplanes, visiting fire stations and petting zoos with my grandson, Camden. And last Saturday, I was at the grocery store picking up a few items, and the clerk there, a young man of 30, asked me how I was feeling today. I said, "I've never been better a day in my life. How are you?" And he said, "Well, to tell you the truth, I'm a little bit in shock right now. You see, I just got back results from my DNA genealogy testing. And all of my life, I thought that I was Swedish. But I just found out that I'm mostly Scandinavian." I said, "Yeah, life can be shocking like that, can it?" The truth is, life is a struggle for all of us. And in that text that Bill read, our first lesson with the Apostle Paul, Paul is writing to the early Christian church in Ephesus, which is modern-day Turkey. And he refers to the journey of life as a struggle. Now, Paul was not one to candy-coat anything. Life was a struggle for Paul, and in fact, life was a struggle for the early Christian church. Christians were persecuted. Christianity was illegal. The poor were oppressed. Egomaniacal leaders were in power. And if you were not a citizen of Rome, then the odds were stacked against you. Life was a struggle for Paul and for the people of Ephesus. Aren't we lucky to live in the 21st century as opposed to the first century? Well, the answer is yes. The answer is yes. By almost any measure, we live longer and better with more freedom than the people of the first century. And yet, Christians are still the most persecuted people in the world. Christian churches are burned and Christians are martyred at an alarming rate. Much has changed in 2,000 years, and yet some things have not. There is a constant, you see. There is a constant in the human journey. Yours and mine and all of our ancestors. The human journey in every land, among all races, and across all centuries, and that is this: life is a struggle. So what is the biggest struggle in your life right now? Is it a struggle in your dysfunctional family or in a marriage that's lost its intimacy? Life is a struggle. What struggle are you facing right now? Is it a struggle to get up and go to work in the morning? Or is it a struggle to find work or affordable housing? What struggle? Addiction? Depression? Disability? Disease? Low self-esteem? You notice I did not ask if you have a struggle. That is because by definition life is a struggle. From the struggle of labor that brings us into this world, to the struggle to hold on at the end of the journey of life. Life is a struggle. We all struggle. Some are better, perhaps, at hiding it than others. And some struggles are less public, less dramatic, less visible to the larger community. And I believe that those less visible struggles might be the worst of all. The struggles we hide, the secrets we keep, the fear of being found out, the loneliness of no one knowing. The Apostle Paul speaks of life as a struggle. Keep in mind that as he was writing these words from a prison cell in Rome. Life is a struggle, a cosmic battle between good and evil, darkness and light, a personal battle against our own nature and self-destructive tendencies. So are you ready for the battle? Are you ready to face the struggle that is your life? Paul says then, put on the armor of God. Do something. Put on armor. The metaphor is a little dated, I admit, But it was used in a day when soldiers were moving around the people on a daily basis, and they were armed with swords and clubs. That's all I could find. And they were protected by armor. Now, they didn't look like this guy. That would be later in battle. No, it was more like this. There you see a more accurate portrayal of what a Roman soldier might have looked like. Now, if you're going to do battle in the struggle of life, Paul says, put on the armor. 2,000 years later, we receive the same advice, but the armor is different today. No one walks around looking like that. In the United States in 2018, what provides us security in the battle? Well, it's money and a home and an income from work or a stable retirement income, a 401k, an IRA, a Roth IRA, and don't forget insurance, health insurance, life insurance, long-term care insurance, car insurance, home insurance. Armor, according to most personal finance gurus, is as simple as checking off all of those boxes. Or we might say putting on the armor of the 21st century to provide security. Of course, we have the luxury of worrying about tomorrow and providing for the future because others have fought great wars to give us the security of our homeland. We have the luxury because the most powerful army in the world protects us. And citizens of Rome and the citizens of the United States have passports. Passports that are golden, a small piece of armor that offers us status. Life is a struggle, so by all means, give yourself every chance at success. Put on the armor. But Paul encourages us to put on a different kind of armor. Not the armor of this world, but the armor of God. If you're going to do battle, if you're going to face your demons, then don't do it unprotected. Put on the armor of God. Now, Paul begins this admonition, as you heard Bill read it, by using the word stand three times. It's pretty hard to fight a battle when you're sitting down. So stand up. Stand against the wiles of the devil. Stand firm. Stand, therefore, Paul says. Stand is a very strong word. And Paul says, stand up. So let me put it another way in terms that God uses to encourage us. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid to face the struggles of your life because you do not stand alone. You are not alone. God is with us. And look around, and here you will see a community that will stand with you and help you to stand. Stand up. Be of good courage. Let's move on now to Paul's metaphor and put on the armor of God. First, Paul says, put on the belt. The belt of truth. Jesus said that the truth will set us free. Now, the opposite of the truth is lies, and without the belt of truth, your pants will fall down, and you'll be exposed, and your lies will be exposed. Lies, as we know, enslave us. The truth, Jesus says, sets us free. Now, the truth is going to come to us in a variety of different ways, depending upon the struggles that we are facing. Addiction. Any recovery from addiction must start with the truth. I am an alcoholic. I am an addict. Until that truth is brought out into daylight, it's impossible for there to be healing. The truth will set us free, Jesus said. Truth. The truth. I cannot control the behavior of my grown children, and neither can you. I cannot control the behavior of my immature husband, and neither can you. I am only responsible for my own actions. That's the truth. Now, the truth can also be sobering sometimes. The diagnosis is clear. It's honest. I have 6 months to live. Or I have 6 years to live. I will not live forever. That's the truth. So with this information, how will I live? Ultimately, terminal, how will I live? The truth can be hard to swallow, and we might say in this day and age, it can be hard to come by as well. But if we are to do battle with the demons, if we're to face the struggles of our lives, then we must begin with truth-telling. You know how you can tell if you've got a very good friend? They'll tell you the truth. So keep on that belt or live in constant fear of the truth being made public. Paul says, put on the breastplate of righteousness. What is righteousness? It's living within a moral code of God's choosing, of your choosing. It's about making choices in your life that are upright and honest and healthy and consistent with the vows that you have made in your life. The great American president Abraham Lincoln said, "When I do good, I feel good. When I do bad, I feel badly. That is my religion." Great wisdom there. You see, righteous living is accomplished one day and one decision at a time, and righteous living has natural benefits. It keeps you out of jail, and it's beneficial to your health, and it's beneficial to the health of your relationships. Righteous living, the breastplate protects your heart, and it protects the hearts of those that you have promised to love. It feels good, and you're more likely to sleep in peace at night. The breastplate of righteousness protects your heart. Now, as for shoes, Paul says, well, put on whatever shoes you like, as long as you're ready to proclaim, Paul says, a gospel of peace. Now, I know that some people are really into shoes, me, not so much. I'm amazed when I visit my daughter Emily to see her collection of shoes. Shoes for all seasons and shoes for all reasons. Shoes protect our feet, and for some, shoes make a statement. Paul says any shoes will work as long as they put you in a position to face your struggles and to allow you to help your neighbors to face their struggles as well. Proclaim the gospel of peace, Paul says. Now, gospel, as you know, means what? It means good news. As Christian people, as followers of Jesus, as those who pay particular attention to the life of Jesus as portrayed in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, we should be people of good news. We have good news to share. God's love, God's grace, a church where sinners gather, a place where everyone's welcome in the pews and at the table. Everybody is welcome. But for much of our history, the history of the Christian church, that has not been true. No, the church has been a place that preached about the hell fires, a place where self-righteous people gathered together to judge others and make themselves feel better, a place where the sins of others were judged harshly as the sins of the parishioners were hidden behind masks and closed doors. Put on your shoes, your Nikes, your Doc Martens, your Toms, your Tory Burches, or whatever, and be people of good news. Life is a struggle. You're going to need more. You're going to need some more protection, Paul says. So he concludes his wardrobe advice by encouraging us to carry a shield, a helmet, and a sword. The shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword, which is the word of God. Now, these three are intimately connected. The Bible tells us that faith comes by hearing. We must hear over and over and over again that God loves us, or we won't believe it. That God loves us even when no one else does love us. Our salvation can only be understood with a deep appreciation of grace. We cannot earn God's love. We cannot earn our salvation. It is a gift from God. God's word is the key to the whole armor wardrobe. And how does this sound at Trinity Lutheran Church? Put yourself in the path of the gospel. Come to church, surround yourselves with people who care, real people who are carrying real heavy burdens, real people struggling with real problems. Come to church and arm yourself for battle in a harsh world. Come to church and hear words, be bathed with words of grace. You, my friend, are loved. You are forgiven. You are not alone. And in a few minutes, God is hosting a dinner party, and you are invited. an honored guest, invited to dine on the bread and wine. Paul says, put on the whole armor of God. Now, do you know who was the most armored man in the Bible? His name was Goliath. And he stood some 7 foot tall 3,000 years ago, long before the NBA. That was tall. 7 feet tall. And he was a champion warrior. And did he have armor? He had a helmet of bronze. His armored coat, the Bible tells us, weighed 126 pounds. He had greaves of bronze protecting his legs. A javelin of bronze was slung between his shoulders. And the tip of his spear, the Bible says, weighed 15 pounds. Goliath was the fiercest fighter of the Philistine army, and he was the most fortified warrior in the world. He had put on the whole armor of this world. He had all the security that this world could offer. He had a pension. He had his home paid off. He had his IRA, his Roth IRA, his health savings account, long-term care insurance, and car insurance. Goliath had it all. He had all the armor. He'd taken care of it, checked off every box, taken care of every detail. And coming out to meet him in battle was a slightly built young man with a slingshot. His name was David. He played the harp. He was from Bethlehem in Judah. This was David versus Goliath. This was South Whidbey High School football Falcons against the New England Patriots. Goliath taunted David. He said, "You come out to fight me with sticks? What am I, a dog that you might scare away? Come to me, little one. Come to me, and I will feed your flesh to the birds." David came out and said to him, "You have swords and spears and javelins, but I have come to you in the name of the Lord. This very day the Lord will deliver you into my hands." And with that, the giant of a man, Goliath, charged. And David pulled out a single stone, put it in his slingshot, and it struck the giant in the forehead, and he fell dead to the ground. Too bad, Tom Brady. Go Falcons. I would encourage you to put on all the armor that you possibly can. Pay attention to your physical body. Pay attention to your financial well-being. Prepare, put on armor, and know that one day too, you will be struck between the eyes with a stone, or a car, or a cancer diagnosis, or an intimate betrayal. You see, all the armor in the world will not protect us from despair and disability and death. Do all that you can to protect yourself. That is prudent. That is wise. But do not bet your life on your own wisdom or on your own investments. Do not trust politicians or Wall Street or your workout routine. Put your trust in the one who gave you life and has promised to meet you in death. Put your trust in God. Follow Jesus Christ. Put on the armor of God, truth, righteousness. Put yourself in the path of the gospel. You know, all my life I thought I was Swedish. Come to find out I'm Scandinavian. Life is shocking. Life is dangerous. Face your struggles in a community that cares about you. And put yourself in the path of Jesus Christ. Amen.